Thank you. Greetings in the name of the Most High. It's what they call, you know, they have their dates and everything, because we don't believe the dates are right, but the sentiment, of course, Jesus, which basically means communion, you know. See, that's such a strange thing, but, and the Lord's Supper proclaimed it. And what followed was the entire conquering of death and evil upon the earth. So, it becomes one of these, moments that I don't really care where they put it on the calendar. You know, just as good to talk about some of these scriptures and things that laid out the communion. Then after we go through a few of these and really start to understand the depth of the paradox of Christ, which we are in. That's one of the reasons we don't ever get it, is because we always see it from outside ourselves. We see it outside ourselves rather than us within it. And so it becomes very difficult to see reality when you do. It's not a fault. It's just the way we're wired here upon the earth. So how are you doing, huh? It's, you know, obviously this is the roughest time in history. And it's rough from a psychological perspective, you know, as well as, you know, it said at one point that people will faint. People even die due to fear of the troublous things they see coming these days upon the earth, that they won't be able to handle. They'll just die on the spot. They won't be able to handle it. When I think about some of the COVID people dying, that they're being reported as being dying on the spot. But no one will, you know, every man is obviously a liar, and there's no institution you can have faith in whatsoever. And you're lucky if you've got a few friends you can confide with that won't betray you, because the whole world is nothing but inverted at this point. But it's inverted. And it's extrusion that people can see. And I believe the reason God's showing us this is obviously so you can say, well, this is obviously wrong. This is obviously the wrong direction. The world is wrong. And I always like to say, not only is the crowd always wrong, but the world is always wrong. Always wrong. Think about it. This is what I learned playing around with stocks in the stock market, and then back in the 90s, you know, before some of you were born, we got into this thing called day trading, and we did okay. We made it. We lost it, you know. Sorry I got caught up in it. I really am. But you know, everyone was doing it, you know, kind of thing. You know, there were people... Yeah, you know, they were staying home, and they retired because they made so much money, and you know, and then of course there was a crash in the year 2000, and it's just so typical of the folly on earth. Whatever the earth decides, oh, day trading is good. Believe me, it's going to end in a disaster. The big bad guys, the wolves of Wall Street, they're going to take you down. All you have to do is be a little guy with a computer, and you're going to, you know, make these trades, and all they have to do is see the trades, and they do. And the moment you make your trade is the moment they sell their trade, so you lose. And then what do? Just to put spit in your eye, they come back in and buy your shares that you dumped at a loss, at a bargain, and they go on to the next victim. I'm sorry. I think there's been enough movies and stuff to educate yourselves where you can see the way it works. The Big Short was one. Yeah, the big, Wall Street was another one that shows how they'll try. They're watching the Elon Musk Twitter thing is another one. Anyway, so some scriptures on communion and you know, decided to have it here today just because it seemed like a good day to, it just seems like a different year now. Well, the year's going fast. So in John 6, 53 through 58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." In Corinthians 11, 26, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." In other words, you abide until the return, which is 2 days from now, and involves music and eating and even eating fish at the shore. Cast your net here, right? Brother Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas, stick your finger in right there. "I'm he who is gone, and now look, you all see me. You all see," it's really, this is what, where people don't believe. They don't believe that he was walking around again, basically resurrected, but they do believe that he was dead on the cross because, you know, the not just being there for the days, but also being puncture wounded in a critical area where he would basically bleed out. But a lot of people believe that he was almost dead and he was treated and then he came out of the, you know, came out of the grave. But see, that's not using faith. That's using logic. It was clear to all the people this was not, you know, that there was something different about this Jesus when he arose. There was something different about him. He wasn't the same person, but he was. He was not a clone. He was not the same person. He was different. He was not, his body not yet, you know, absorbed in the spirit, whatever you want to call it, you know, potentiated into the spiritual being, master, Godhead, whatever, the apotheosis and all that. It wasn't really a thing. That really hadn't happened. He hadn't just, you know, gone to where, you know, he's gone past the point of no return. You know, not coming back until the official day. But that he would go to prepare a place, and when he was saying all this and when he was functioning for about 38 days, I think, and while he was functioning amongst the people, they had a very good chance to see with their own eyes. And Magdalene, of course, was the one that had, you know, verified his death and life again. And I guess it just comes down to, you know, a thing of what you believe. But one thing that, our Lord did was he set up this, the Lord's Supper, the communion, to do this in remembrance of me. So this, meaning communion, was always meant to be a strengthening process. That we have strength when we're gathered around our Lord, you know, in a form, let's say, like the early Jesus and the apostles, gathered around and getting worship in people's houses on the sides of mountains and on a path in the wilderness, and getting, you know, being baptized in the river and having at the same time, having to test their beliefs. In other words, they're with Jesus and they're doing these, the ministry of Jesus, and there's a lot of controversy about whether this Jesus is for real. And it just sort of all revolves around this idea that we're either condemned here to die upon the earth, or God has made a provision so that those who seek the truth, those who seek God, would live, would be forgiven. And it is because of Jesus, the only begotten of the Lord, of the Almighty, El Shaddai, being sacrificed for for the sins of humanity, the blood being that commodity, I hate to put it that way, it cheapens it, but not really, that is capable of buying, redeeming the souls of every single person that ever lived or that ever will live through faith, through belief, through understanding. So when you start seeking the Lord, you know, you have this thing that comes over you sometimes called the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that will just be all about that. It may not even be a linear thing. It may just be this, like a comforting blanket, this comfort to know that you are cared about, you're taken care of, you have nothing to worry about, you have nothing to fear. And that is because of Jesus. So Jesus is where you go. So when you go to Jesus, i.e. communion, then you realize what you may have been. What I do is I go back through all the times I would have been dead that were just weird, complete, anomalous things that got me out of that every time. That you couldn't say, oh, this is a natural man-made thing, ever. So many times we have prayed and been completely blessed. So many times we've faced opposition, terrible opposition, and everything looks bad. And yet we said, we shuck that off and we go to pray, only to see unfolding not only miracles, but abundance flowing through the open windows of the heavens. And then we're like, oh my God, us of little faith, how we could have, you know, doubted, or how we could have gotten caught up in that negativity and that awful, terrible plight of you know, it's all bad, it's never going to get better, everyone sucks, it sucks, it's, I wish I weren't here, I wish I was never born, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that, you know, I'm sure you're all good at singing that tune. But then suddenly there's a way out of that, i.e. communing with Christ. When Jesus is in the room, meaning amongst us, within us, the kingdom of heaven is within, as you know. And we recognize that fact. We are children of the Most High God, and it's through faith, but faith that is beyond our own capability of faithing. Faith that's beyond our own capability of having faith. Faith that's deeper than anything we ever believe, so we couldn't do it because we're just not that deep ourselves. Faith because a lot of times we make commitments and they fall to the wayside. We wish we didn't do that. We got to repent and start over again. Hope next time it works out. But with Jesus, it always works out. And you look at that difference and you go, how can it always work out? That defies the odds. That proves that it is a bona fide miracle. That proves that, you know, if anything in the slightest, that God listens to and answers prayers through Jesus, in Jesus' name. And he also communicates, like, instead of praying this, do that, or instead of going here, go there, instead of doing this, do that. And these inspirations come in dreams, premonitions, daydreams, thoughts. And but then the whole key is, it's really, it all comes down to that Last Supper. It all comes down to it's called the Lord's Supper, but I mean, it all comes down to this communion, this connection. That's the important thing, because you know you're connected when you have no care, when that burden is lifted off your back, when that worry is replaced with hope and hopefulness and positivity and bright outlook, because you know who you belong to, you know where you're going, you know the whole story. You know, this is nothing to worry about or be afraid of. Because of what's in me, I shall fear no man. 1 Corinthians 11:26, and often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. So we stand also as a standard in a way, that we stay until the Lord returns in a spiritual sense. So as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and then said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And in John 6:53, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life.'" And then, you know, the big scripture is Isaiah 53:5, where it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And so, obviously, the communion is the act of, it's not just the connection, but it's the act of being grateful, giving thanks. It's like a Thanksgiving. It's like a Thanksgiving, but it's also a torturous pouring out. You know, to receive a gift of life from someone that shouldn't be killed, who gives up his life being God for you. So that, of course, if God dies for you, basically you're there, right? You're off the hook. You have been redeemed. And the Lord, I think more than, you know, just our desires to have, you know, connection and things like that, I think the Lord basically ordains this, you know, the having of these feasts, these times, these get-together, these places where inspiration can occur. I don't like the inspiration of just, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, I used to do this where I would go for scriptures that were basically not the Lord commanding us to have this, do this in remembrance of me, but going into deeper reasons for it to be. But I think we all know these reasons. The culmination of the prophecy of the Messiah, just all the, you know, the celebration of the Passover, even, which symbolizes, of course, the passing over the lamb's blood, to pass over the firstborn, i.e. to pass over the children of the Most High God. And it just goes on and on like that. I mean, just about every scripture can lead to an understanding about communion. And, you know, tear this temple down, in 3 days I will rebuild it. In 3 days he's resurrected. And that is the rebuilt kingdom. It's the body, as it finally says. I guess I was warming up to this. As it finally says in, you know, Revelation 20 or 21, the New Jerusalem comes down from the sky, being the tabernacle, that the human being is the tabernacle of God. There's no more need of mechanics, mechanical objects, lights, machines. You know what I mean? It's complete. See, what I like to do is think about it this way. What the creation, was all about becomes complete with the dissolution of the, you know, time and space. The dissolution of the sun and the planets and the sky and the earth. The dissolution of these things and the formation of this other thing in another world that was all part of creation that we can't see because we're in the process of being created. And where that creation is, it has physical properties that people can say, well, it looks like this, it looks like that, but it's not something that can be really I mean, people can talk all they want about the New Jerusalem. It's like a cube. It's coming down, you know, different things they can observe about it. But the main purpose is to represent the pinnacle of creation, which is that the man has become the tabernacle of the living God. The temple is no longer outside somewhere in a physical space with physical rocks and physical covenants and physical things and, you know, lights and fires and tents and, you know, camels and horses. You know, that it becomes a literal, you know, state of being, a state of really a perfection, a state of completion, but at the same time, has always been, always will be. So there's the paradox. It's almost as if we're catching up to the present time, which is the New Jerusalem, and we're in the past, and then the devil, et cetera, you know, quote unquote, is ahead of us in time, throwing on every kind of monkey wrench possible into our walk. I mean, every time, how do they know? Every time something's about to go good, you know, look out, everything falls apart. It's just extraordinary how many times in a row that's happened, where you're about to get a blessing and you've been working at something. But yeah, the thing you want to do is, if you know God, if you come to understanding that God is, then the next step to believe in something isn't a matter of intellect. It's not a matter of logic. The belief in Jesus, the belief in Jesus' resurrection, the belief that Jesus, you know, came to earth for the, you know, for the redemption of souls and left to prepare a place. You know, the entire gospel of, you know, what should be good news is dreadful news to many people because they don't believe, because they believe that belief is part of a intellectual understanding or belief, you know, and you say, well, I'm not sure if I believe that. I'd like to believe it. I want to be in the Jesus Club. I'd like to understand, but I'm not sure. I don't know what I believe. It just doesn't seem possible. It could have been faked. But either way, if it's real, it's hard to believe. If it's faked, it's hard. The whole story. Fortunately, I'm here, the messenger, to tell you, you don't have to look at it that way. You don't need to, as a verb, believe so much as you have belief, being a noun. And that belief you have is in you and is part of you, just as your complete dedication to Christ, the scriptures, the knowing that's the, you know, you've learned about the way, the truth, and the life, these paradoxes and these great secrets that people don't quite understand. And as you know that you're having a new life within, you'd like more of that life. You'd like more, much more of that. You want more of that to overcome your sins, your problems, your fears, your anxieties, your trigger points from the past, all those things. Go away with closeness to Christ, which is communion. That's over. There's no more thing. There's no more, shall I say, there's no more complete sentences. You know, see, spot, run. There's no, you know, process. It's complete. So that if you are in Christ, which is not completely your choice, then that is something that you know. Contained with that knowing is the belief in the gospel. Even if you don't have the belief or the verbal sort of verb belief, you know, the believing in the present, even if it seems it fights with your logic. Deep down, you have the receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism by fire. So therefore, you are belief. You are the resurrection. You are that. You are Christ. And in that is perfect faith and perfect peace. There's nothing for you to do, really. It's just that we keep moving the goalposts. We keep saying, well, no, it's over here somewhere. You could go further. It's in the acts of good works. You got to do more good works, then you're going to get closer. You got to cut all your hair off and, you know, have that, you know, give the beer to your friends and, you know, just have rice and beans and, if that, and fast all day, you know, fast for hours, fast for weeks. And just do everything you can to get into the thing with God. And the terrible irony of that is That's not something that you do. It's not a verb. It's a noun. I don't go get close to Christ. If I am Christ because of Christ in me, and I'm stretching it a little bit because, I mean, obviously, I'm, you know, we have different people and personalities and different things. But the point is that that belief, that total surrender to Jesus Christ that occurred when I was, you know, up against the Satanist and had, you know, I was, you know, I'm to be given credit for fighting so valiantly for so many years. You know, and then now to have it all come out, what they really are all about, right? You see it every night on the news and the grooming and the just the way it is, the backwards nature of right? The mirror. This is the mirror world. Mirror needs to be broken, doesn't it? So I have belief because I have Christ. And so that's all I need to know. So I'm good to go. My intellect can go back and forth, and the devil can play with that all the time. Plays with my mind. I had to leave Facebook because he started playing with my mind, and I thought this guy dropped me because, you know, because he was cleaning out his friends list. And he goes, I would never do that to you. And then I'm like, oh, my God, they got me. They got me. They take people off my list and say that I need to friend them, even though we're already friends. And make me think that, you know, that, you know, 50 people just dumped me. It's just a terrible thing. I can't seem to understand it. And they, like I say, I got friends of all walks of life. And some are, you know, hostile to religion, probably because they got burned as a child, you know. And so they see religious people and they start manifesting. You know, I mean, I can't, you know, it's sort of like, If you're on the East Coast of the United States 50 years ago and tried to have a party with the Catholics and the Protestants, you know what I mean? You'd have a problem in that party. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just that you just can't get along. And yes, and I do believe that the people of Christ, you know, we're here, you know, to commune, which is actually it's a reflection on our constant daily communion. It's acknowledgement that there is a communion. We are not communioning. We don't need to communion. We're not I communion, you communion. We are communion. We are, you know, that eternal fellowship. We are that, you know, that people. We are that spirit. And so, since we are that spirit, we are that truth, we are that thing, that our intellect that's playing with time and space and history and traumas and all kinds of memories and things has nothing to do with our inner core of truth, with the Godhead within through Christ. You know, it's not an athletic event. It's almost the opposite. It's a surrender event, but then after that, it's a state of being. It's a state of grace event, you know, certainly, but it is a state of spirit, a state of existence. And that state of existence is in that, you know, in Christ, not in the world, not among, you know, the golfers over there, or the bowlers over there, or the footballers over there, right? Or whatever little group or club, whatever it is. It's a conscious, you know, assertion in the sense that you know, your free will is involved. In the sense that you have allowed yourself to surrender in Christ and therefore become a child of the Most High God. And when that happens, well, that's it. That's your state. That's your existence. That's you now. Well, that's you. And then the kicker is that was always you. But it was a matter for you to be born and come into this life and at the appointed time to become you again for whatever reason. Does that mean reincarnation? I have no idea. Maybe. It doesn't matter. If you're the, you know, joint heir in Christ of all that has ever existed, all that ever will exist, does it matter? You know, it's this is all yours. Does it? That rock over there is yours. It's free to you if you can pick it up and carry it home. Can't quite. It takes a few people, right? So communion, you know, I mean, and this, I just what I wanted to do is get down to the really the very heart of it. Not just, you know, tarrying till the Lord comes back and all that. You know, to also to do this in remembrance of me, to do this in remembrance of all the things I've taught you, and all the things that you've learned, and to not just recall those, but I think it's a time, a moment in time where there's actually a time out. And in that time out, there's like this readjustment kind of thing in communion. You know, you now realize your true identity. So it's a time not to go communioning, like caroling or something. It's to let this thing happen. In a sense, we're letting something happen, aren't we? We're surrendering to the ultimate reality of the Most High God, the Creator, and all things that are created, and the mind-boggling understanding that everything has always been and everything will always will be. But here we are in this time-space continuum, you know, pretty much one check mark away from being damned forever. And we see that ray of hope. And we understand that that thing that we've been looking for is because we've been lied to all our lives, so we want the truth. And that, what we've been looking for, Jesus, we didn't know that he was actually a way. And then we learned from his teaching about communion, of eating my body, drinking my blood, that he's about, that he is, he literally is life. So this blows the mind of people when you explain to them very simply what's written in the Bible with those very simple scriptures, very simple, right? Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you don't have eternal life. But then the eating and drinking of the blood that we do is symbolic. Designed to do one thing, is put us into surrender, really, into this place. It's almost like, you know, the every time there's communion, there's a great reset, a real one. And the reset is simply to remind us that we are who we are, what we are, what our purpose is, where we are heading, you know, why there's no need to be afraid. Why there's no need to be, you know, to be in any way, shape, or form bothered or distracted by a backwards world, which has obviously proven itself to be faulty, proven itself to not, you know, to be unreliable, proven itself to be evil, proven itself to be wicked, proven itself to be perverted, proven itself to be violent, you know, and proven itself to be unfair. Pretty much across the board. And as a result of the really bad behavior of, you know, the new batch of, you know, people in power, we have been able to see how many people in society have pledged allegiance to those elites who want to eliminate, you know, people or whatever they want to do, you know, eliminate the world, James Bond stuff. And that, but the whole world has pledged their allegiance to this dying cult, this death ship. And the problem is that those people that have pledged allegiance think, well, they pledged allegiance, they know what's happening, they know what the, you know, they've conformed to the world. And all these people have given up all their morals and all their built-in, you know, guilt and you know, just knowledge of stuff that's right and wrong, you know, knowledge right and wrong, in order to, you know, get money from the beast system, right? It's about money usually. So that's what they're assured of. And in so doing, they only owe one thing, and really they owe their soul, so that they are spoken for. And it just seems when so many have gone that way, that's when the real trouble upon the earth begins. When so many people, don't worry about the elites, that's not the problem. It's all your neighbors that have run to the dark side, that are supporting it because they feel that they'll be kept in secret, that you'll never find out, you know. Meanwhile, it's everybody in your neighborhood, right? It is. And that's why, you know, it's so... I remember we went to a communion and, I guess Andre Crouch, famous gospel singer, had a church in Pasadena, a black church, and Trish and I went. And it was getting chaotic in there. I mean, it was some, you know, really spirit, you know, great music, of course, you know, and all that. But it was getting, you could see demons crawling around on the, it was intense spiritual warfare. And, you know, we're going up for the communion. And, you know, and I knew it was just so jumpy. And there are people writhing around on the ground and speaking in tongues and speaking like as a demon, you know what I mean? And just all kinds of things. And the communion, the gal brings out the tray full of all the little cups of, you know, wine and little bread things. And it just like goes up in the air and then crashes all over the ground, making it impossible to have communion, you know, ruin it for everybody. So the music gets cranking up even more and more and more. And it was just wild. And it was really a knockdown, get out, a knockdown, drag out fight between the demonic and the, you know, and it was just like there were people in there, like there were people they called prophets, which didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And, you know, but you go up to them and you know, get a prophecy and you pay them, you put some money in the, in the coffer, you know what I mean, to go up and have your fortune read, you know, that kind of thing. And people, you know, totally fell for it. I'm just like, okay. And you can multiply that. Doesn't matter, black, white church, you know, Korean church, all kinds of, but many of them became corrupted with American culture. And so we have a good remnant here, you know, and we have a need for communion today, because what we're doing today is, I might as well tell you since you're participating, what we're doing today is we're thwarting the fake church. We're thwarting the pagans for the big pagan weekend holiday, which they think we don't know about, Easter. And we basically are, you know, setting a standard line, because we are gathered to hear, there's nobody's getting anything. There's no offering tray being passed around. There's just nothing here that can, you know, I mean, there's the world can get you, can grab you at any time. But, you know, and then maybe, but then again, you can stand against it because of the power that's within you. And that's been true for me 99.9% of the time, you know what I mean? Unless I was just needing a, you know, a thought readjustment or something. So the communion is, it's kind of like when you're in it, it's not, there's nothing to really do. It's a matter of understanding, you know, I guess consciousness expanding to a certain, you know, to see the bigness of the universe, the bigness of God, right? But to know that you're, you know, you've been spoken for, to just acknowledge that one thing, you know, to stop trying to think and just sit back into that understanding, you know, this is my connection to Jesus Christ. We are literally at the table with the Lord, literally. And that's the thing. See, there's the strength. were literally at the table with the Lord. Doesn't matter how many apostles or disciples or followers you see or you don't see. It doesn't matter. What matters is we're literally at the table. And it's literally as intimate as you can imagine it. You're sitting next to Jesus. You're sitting across from Jesus. Jesus knows you. He comes up, gives you, you know, you get down, you kiss his feet, right? And he pulls you up and gives you a kiss on the cheek and he says, you know, welcome. We've got, where do you see what's planned next? And so you're all excited like, you know, a kid. You're just like, yeah, what's next? He's got something planned next and we don't know what it is, but it's huge. You see, and that that kind of thing, you know, within you, that kind of, because I noticed before, well, I've given you time, you know, if you want to join us with communion, I've given time with, I have my wine and my bread here, and we're gonna jump into it in a minute, but I'm trying to take us through the whole reality of it, you know, the enormous reality of it, and to understand that this communion is really being given to you by God. It's really, you just need to receive it. You know what I mean? It's that's how much work is involved, right? There's this, like, this time I'm really going to do it, Lord. There don't need to have any athletic behavior like that. You know, there's no self-judgment or assessment. Next time, I'll really... There's no next time. This is eternity. There's no next in eternity. This is it. You just got to settle into an eternal state of mind for a second and then realize who you are. But in so doing, then you realize who Christ is. And you understand, you know, there's that connection. There's that love. There's agape, fellowship, unconditional love. And... But it's all kind of in the past. It's all been decided. And, right? Even though it's also, you know, up ahead for others. But with you, it's in the past. It's been decided. You never did waver. There isn't any wavering. A wavering is not something, again, that's intellectual. It's something that would have to be like a fundamental deep belief that, I mean, deep down, I'm really angry. Like, you know, sure, I probably could have been a great terrorist when I was younger, you know. I would be the revolutionary leading the charge, you know, taking out, you know, the bank buildings and, you know, destroying the airports or, I don't know, whatever. But that path did not surface for me. And, you know, it's kind of a shallow way to be anyway, you know, to look at solving your problems by attacking the material world. Are you kidding me? That's a moron's assignment. You conquer the world with the conqueror of the world, Jesus. In him, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. This is, you know, time and space really doesn't exist. So you have this within you. And this is, it's an inheritance and it's a gift we may not deserve. We don't, nobody merits the kingdom. There's no collective salvation by a church here and there would be all saved collectively. There is nothing like that. There is just basically you. And there's basically me. And we come together cosmically in this connection to acknowledge that we are one in Christ, hence our Christ. And that moment of recognition is, it's pretty much the fulfillment of my burden is easy, you know, my, you know, cast your cares on me because, you know, my burden is light, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Jesus says, and then he says, cast your cares on me, cast your cares on him. God will fight your battles. You know, it's coming from a thing that has happened, that it's a done deal. Once it's a done deal in eternity, it has always been in eternity. So you always have been who you are right now. So the idea of whether or not you believe exactly the order of things or people or the Bible. It just doesn't even really matter what you believe intellectually, because that's always going to keep changing. You go, maybe this is right. Maybe that's right. Maybe I was right over here. No, it looks like I'm wrong now. I better use better discernment. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're a child of the Most High God. You are discernment. Just be who you are. So let's get to this. I need to be helped up because I hurt my back yesterday. And I haven't been able to walk properly, but a little bit better today than yesterday. I need to get up. Okay. Oh. Okay. Let's pray for that back.
Yes.
No, because I recline on a sofa, you know, sideways to get the pressure off my back, and I just moved. It seemed like about an inch or two, the wrong direction. It wasn't any big, and then I felt something, and then the next thing you know,
yeah,
pure pain. Okay, so let me see if I can. The iPad I had, it broke. And so it's one of those weird things. Like, things have really been going off the rails a bit. And we'll just keep this low. Okay. So this will be our Good Friday. And you can have as many communions as you want. You can have as many as you want, but this will be our Good Friday contemplation. So let's just take a minute to contemplate what Jesus has done for us and what we've done for Jesus and what this all means to us. You know, whether you're in Pakistan or whether you're here in the States or whether you're in somewhere in Asia, it doesn't really matter where you are. This is a communion, pretty much divides time and space. It doesn't just divide the truth about a thing. It divides time and space so that we're all together at once. And that's why I wanted to do this today, because, you know, the churches are going at this all day long everywhere. And the Lord told me we needed to counter that. I didn't use the word counter. It was given to me. I wouldn't use that word, but it was like to not to counter the good intentions, but to counter the state of, you know, the horrible state of the world. So let's just take a moment here for of silence. See that it's that the entire this little kiosk here of Christ has all come together and as one thing, as one, not even one thought, but a state of being. It's amazing. So time for the bread, the body of Christ. For the strength, for the remembrance, for the lessons, for the way, for the discernment, for everything, the body of Christ. So we eat. More organ music is going. Mm-hmm. I can hear the organ music now. And the blood of Christ, the wine. In some ways, wine symbolizes blood, you know, blood, but it also symbolizes life, too, just like the bread. But we shall now have our wine. I don't know about you, but I certainly sense a powerful movement of the spirit. A moving of the spirit, but it's like a clearing out of all the stuff that just doesn't need to be there. And simple, really. So the last couple of days, I have really thought about all the times the Lord has blessed me, all the times that we have prayed. Some big, big, big miracles have happened. My trouble with the IRS we had, oh my God. That was almost it. Yours truly would have been in the slammer, right? Half of the first to 2010. And I didn't do anything wrong, folks. You know, it was an extension letter that we had to send in. We did. And the guy goes, I lost it. The agent. And like, oh my God. What does that mean? That means you're going to tax court, buddy. But I think of all the other miracles and all the sicknesses and the things. And I know, too, that we've lost a lot of people the last couple of years upon the earth because of the scourge of this tribulation. It's the scourge of this tribulation where the Lord has told us that he would allow people to be taken. He would allow people to die in this time. And I don't think we should really be surprised. I'm grateful it's not me yet, but it could be. And if it is, I'm prepared to go with my Lord. That's why I think the communion today was so crucial, because we really need to be with him in not achieving. And that's the most, I know that's something you're not going to hear in many teachings, but you don't need to, there's no need for you to achieve. Now, whatever you do out of the fruit of the Spirit, whatever your free will decisions are to do with what your life and, you know, to pray over people, to raise the dead, to feed the poor, whatever it is, that's got nothing to do with achieving. It's not something that you've achieved it. It's done. It's already done. God did it. You're the beneficiary. Okay. We just simply acknowledge what's been done for us. We were broken enough to receive it in some cases, like in my case, broken enough to receive it. Knew it was real earlier, but I didn't do anything about it. Major sin there, major bad guy, right? So in case any of us would boast. But yeah, the communion is Christ. Christ is the communion. It is simply basically the consciousness of Christ, which I don't want to mix up with the New Age thing, but it's the consciousness, this knowing that there's nothing else important but that connection, but that the only thing that exists right now is that supper. And so that concludes the communion on Good Friday. I always feel so excited because I start thinking about like Roman soldiers, and I start thinking that, you know, we're gonna just start like, you know, playing tambourines and, you know, making noise and acting like total idiots in front of these guys, in front of like the Praetorian Guard, you know what I mean? It's like, it's over, dude. You know, grab the guy, kiss him, you know, it's over. Here, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look at this. It's over. All this conformity and all this stupid stuff is over. And then, you know, there'll be some hostile that come along and they go, you know, like that priest, a priest of all people tells me, that he goes, you know, like you're not allowed to look at the sea to see how abundant it is. A man still has to make a living, meaning a man still has to bow down and slave himself to Satan. Basically, that's what he's saying. He said, there's no exception on that. And it's like, well, there's people that are, that I know making a living, and they're not bound down to Satan, and there's more and more of them. We have to make a living not bowing down to Satan. I know that we're, our tax money is intricately involved in it and all that, but we have to get free of it. We have to at least make the effort to be free of that kind of parasitic system that says you give your allegiance to this system and they don't even let you in the club. Yeah, they're, the elites above you are making the decisions. You're just a victim. But people do it because, you know, they think that they're going to be provided with everything they need to succeed in this life. And they're, and it's, the deal is always a sham and it's always withdrawn. Just like one day they take your pension funds. You know, they're not supposed to do that, right? They promised that those are yours. And yet now it's possible that with the debt we have that you could see something like that. So, you know, again, this position in Christ, this is marvelous because we are, I can just see the position we're in, just in our default position of children of the Most High God. You are like separate from everything you see. Your news that affects you is not the news that affects the people around you. But when they see you in, you know, in that position, in this state of bliss, which is what it causes when you realize who you are, what you are, when you are, where you are, what's going on. And at the same time, you realize that nothing you see here is really real. Nothing really, here really matters. I mean, it matters that you try to do good, sure. It matters that you don't do the wrong thing, that you don't exacerbate evil. It matters that when you see evil going on in front of you, you don't just, you know, sit there quietly, you know, allowing it. You know, that seems to be what got the United States in trouble. People, you know, apparently most people in the United States were sold out to something. They don't even know what it is. They don't even know what the elites are. But, I mean, they know an initiation when they see one, and they tie it in with, you know, graduating from high school or graduating from junior high or something, that you're suddenly in this club. And that's why they groom all these kids for sex and all that, because that's always part of it, right? Putting out for people who can help your career. You know, it's an age old, but really it's see no evil, hear no evil, do no evil with respect to the, you know, quote, world order. And the people and the machines that run it, and that, you know, you whatever, whichever way it goes, you're with it. So you see people now, you know, voting for, we hate free speech, and they're whatever way it goes, they're with it. We love totalitarianism, you know, because they were bred, they were groomed, they were initiated into the system, and they never repented. They just stay. They're staying there now. They think, well, we just be quiet and play our cards right, or this thing will pass over us. It'll be business as usual. We're going back to the good old days. And I think that I can understand why people might think that way, because we always have before, it seems, over the last couple thousand years, we've gone back to the good old days. But what I've seen, governments of the world and militaries aiming at the people, you know, deciding to make the people extinct. You know, one group, and then the people not having any awareness, they're the target. Oh, this is epic now. This is worldwide. It's epic. That's why I think this is God's in it. God's in this one. Because it is worldwide. And, you know, and so I don't know exactly what it means in terms of events and what will happen, not happen, but I just think it's very possible that you could see a great wrap-up of life, you know, a great sort of end to this whole thing. I can't tell you how many decades, or whether it be another generation, but it just is not behaving yet like things before. Now, it could slack off. It could go another 20, 30 years. You could get rid of these Klaus Schwabs, and, you know, then there'll be another batch of, you know, cyborgs moving in. I mean, it's a war against what God created. And Jesus is the mitigator. You pray in Jesus' name and you can pretty much guarantee results. Even, Lord, what should I pray? Pray for the people there. I pray, Lord, for all the people listening in right now and all the people participating and all the people who took this communion. May you all be blessed and protected from the enemy, taking away your understanding, taking away your good feeling of hope and fearlessness right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, you see, because that's reality, that feeling that you're just getting onto now. That's reality. That's real. Okay, the rest of this, it's all, you know, propaganda and just props. Props trying to make you feel, you know, nervous, upset. You know, they don't want you talking to each other out there. They don't want you to have free speech. And they certainly don't want Jesus. And that's, you know, what we're going to be doing. And I think we're going to be looking more deeply into this situation, this prophetic Jesus, this prophetic, you know, timing of the fall of Babylon and the return of Christ, and then of course the burning up then of the atmosphere. I don't really feel, you know, fear the burning up of the atmosphere. If it happens, you know, obviously it happens, but I too, like many others, feel like there is something going on. Like don't just buy into this world. Like you're stuck here, gravity is holding you down, and you're a certain age, and you have certain options, and other options have already expired, and you have, you know, nothing but limitations around. I just think that's false. We have nothing but openings into a complete, total, you know, regeneration and further generation of whatever we are that we have not even gotten out of the embryonic stage. But as we are getting there, we are being prepared to be that tabernacle of the living God. I think we've all pretty much seen what sin can do, right? And we're still sinning, you know. We still convince ourselves that certain things are okay when they're not. And we've seen the wages of sin and what can happen. It's always met with karma. You know, it's always, you know, selfish. And then it's met with karma. Some horrible thing happens. And the same thing happens with, you know, when we're, when we need things and we're going in a trajectory of downward. And we keep thinking, oh, I can't get my mind around it. It's just everyday words. And we're sinking into this muck. Oh, everything I try fails. And it's just going down, down, down. I know that at that time, if you can, to get together with two or three, in Jesus' name, get in agreement with God on just the basics. You know, so you understand, what your experience of going down is not true. Because you're not going down. You're a child of the Most High God. You're well able and equipped to do anything the Lord would have you do. This perception is what the enemy is throwing at you so that you become inert and you don't do anything. Let me explain something. There's no fun out there right now. You look at these casinos around here, they all look like they're going bankrupt. People, they don't want casinos, they want the Lord. They're tired of the casinos. They're tired of the titty bars. You know, they're tired getting drunk at the game, and you know, just being fat slobs in the stands, and then you know, ogling all the little girls in the mini skirts, which they have no chance of ever getting one. Oh, I know. I got to do all this stuff. I also got to be young. And, you know, it's all typical. People are all pretty much the same. They all, you know, when you're in a material mode, you just want, you know, what do you want? The first, you know, it's food and sex, or sex and food, whatever the order is. And, you know, you want to be accepted. You want to be liked. you realize you need to make enough money so you can really be liked. So, you know, it's all a sham. It's all a lie. It can only, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, it won't lead to pleasures that are temporary, as long as you know what you're doing and you know that, you know, if you're working for money and you want to be more successful, you just got to get an agreement with God. Well, what are you doing with God's money? What are you going to do with it? Going to take it in the grave? You know, retire, make a lot, so you can give it to your kids, they're going to tax you over half. You know, they'll probably get a pittance. You know, no, I mean, there's certain things in the material world is, it, you know, the sky will be there, the you know, theoretically, but one day that sky won't be there, and that land won't be there, this house won't be here, you know, and I'll be gone. So who am I really? You know, who am I forever? I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm chosen, anointed, created by the living God to basically get an agreement with him and as much as possible and do things he likes, which is what? Well, if I do something that makes me really happy that I'm good at, he seems to like that. Sometimes he likes to go on a trip. It's really strange. You almost have to be like a child. You do have to be like a child. It's like, okay, Lord, well, what do we do? How about today? You know? And I've been on adventures with the Lord like that, where it's like I would ride my motorcycle around town, you know, and ask the Lord where we wanted to go. And I've seen some things that were like so anomalous, like a trillion to one to see some things from my past and people from my past and things that go, drive to this corner. So I drive to that corner, and lo and behold, there's someone I knew walking along. It's the most strange thing. Pull over here. So I pull over in Topanga Canyon to the market there. You know what I mean? There's these homeless guys. And I said, well, let me get you guys some water. I gave them some water. We're standing around my motorcycle, and we all grab hands and start praying. Spontaneously. It turned out to be a very fruitful appointment. And that was just like, you know, why are you driving down this road, down to Topanga? I have no idea. Oh, the Lord is telling me to signal up here. Okay. And there I am. What am I doing here? I have no idea. And then there's the homeless guys that live in the like a little ravine back behind the market. Yeah, so you know it's that kind of thing the Lord really likes, you know. And it's, I'll tell you why. I don't think he. I think it's going to sound kind of mundane, but you know, not that many people will ask the Lord, "Well, what do you want to do today? Where would you like to go?" Rather than, where do I want to go? What do I want to do? And the only reason that you get more cognizant of him and that presence is the more you include him, the more you realize when that presence isn't there and when that presence is there, when it's not there. It's like, well, how do I get into alignment with this, you know, with this tremendous, you know, this kingdom? This vast kingdom, you know, that if it isn't in the kingdom, it isn't anywhere. I've dealt with the other gods, you know, like I've seen the Eastern ones and the gurus and the visionaries, the high priests, the Pythagoreans, you know, the Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati, these guys, the Jacobins, the Masons, the Aleister Crowleys, and all these kind of people. And there's just nothing. I have friends too that are involved in sorcery, involved in the occult, And they've had troubles with drugs and with all kinds of things. And they, you know, they're having troubles because I don't think that, I think if they're a friend of mine, they're probably a lamb. And just kind of like still on the dark side where they're really a prodigal son. And there's so many of those that are just in the place they don't belong. They went there because they rebelled, because they got abused in church. They said, well, this isn't the way, this is the devil. And they went the other way, thinking the occult would lead to God. And the occult leads to, you know, goddesses and witches and warlocks. I mean, it leads to, you know, werewolves and aliens. You know, but see, the Lord says to me, like, those are the things that we need protection from. But anyway, suffice to say, the whipping, the beating, the torturing of Christ, the ultimate test in which he says, you know, why have you forsaken me? Because when he got to enough pain, so why have you forsaken me? Why have you let me go through this? And the answer is, so you can overcome death. So you can redeem the whole of the human race based on free will. So you can have life and more abundantly. So that all people could have life and more abundantly. But it's, again, it's a very complex subject. Something that kids can know, because knowing is three quarters of the battle. But it's this configuration of the material world sort of spinning around in a circle, and this eternal world being like almost like a line through it. That you almost have to get through this world to the other side and escape. You know, and as I said to Lot's wife, you know, don't look back. You know, and I think that if anybody gets the call from the Lord and answers it, the Lord is with you. In order for you to overturn that, well, it's something big would have to come along to convince you to overturn it and say, I'm going with the devil, because that's the only other way you could go. And he showed me he's really great, and I'm going to pledge my allegiance to that. And even then, you may not have screwed it up. Because it may be an intellectual exercise, not heart, mind, soul. So I think that's, well, if our Lord and Savior would say, you know, Father, why have you forsaken me? And that's fine. Then I think you are given license to say things too. When you hurt, not, you know, every day, but I mean, you're hurting, you're going, ouch. But that's not my identity. You know, ouch, yes, but that's not my identity. That's not where I live. Where I live is Christ. That's the only way I've been able to make it through the world. Before, I really couldn't. And, Trish, I need your help again.
You got it.
Ah, jeez.
You should let me try to adjust it, honey.
No, I know. I understand.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, guys. Ow. Ouch.
We're praying for you, Zeb.
I moved 2 inches, I guess, the wrong way. And no forgiveness for that mistake. But anyway, I think it's been a very worthwhile remembrance of Jesus. And just remember to not write them off, sell them short, because you're talking about something Harari won't do. Go into the complexity and the paradoxical nature of understanding Jesus, what it is, what it is. But I know when I'm anxious and upset, prayers don't usually, I'm not even watching for them. But I know that when I'm in the right position, you know, that I'm not anxious and I'm not going to pray out of short-sighted anxiety. It's going to be a better, more accurate prayer. And I think that's the only way, you know, we're going to get through this mess too, is with Jesus and with constantly praying with friends. You know, that's going to be the key right there. Constantly praying with friends. And, you know, there's a whole bunch more scriptures, obviously, we can add to the communion understanding, but I think it's best to leave it not being a theology class. I took all that in theology, you know. It's funny, when I was at MacArthur's church and I was going through a baptism class, because they make you before you get baptized, and I was going through this baptism class, and we were in there with graduate students from the Master's College, which was right there on the campus. And they asked me something about the significance of communion, or what does it really mean, something to that effect. And they would go to the experts, the graduate students. And they didn't have a clue. Did they? Yeah. I answered it, but they couldn't. And the reason they couldn't is because they've learned all their lives from linear thinking, book learning, things like that. And it just doesn't equate to experiencing Christ, meaning that place, that place that you have, that is that connection that's within yourself, to stop and then have communion that reminds you of that and puts you in that state, and then experience it without any effort on your part, without any achievement. See, we're all in this country, we have to go get the rabbit, you know. There's still that kind of programming there. Okay. Well, God bless you, each and every one, and we will see you next time. I say to the Lord, you are my God. All the good things I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods.